This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the June 27th edition of Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. That's what we're all about every day. Are you practicing goals-based investing? Goals-based? Goals-based. You have a goal. Goals-based planning is the process of prioritizing your financial goals to determine the optimal plan to fund them. So you might have a goal to buy a boat, you know, retirement, have enough money for retirement. But have enough money, you set a goal of $1 million, a goal. Set a goal of $100,000 put down in a house. Goals, that you set goals for yourself. And then you work toward those goals. So that's one of the ways you can invest. You know, to set yourself some goals and you'd save up and invest and get to your goals. Instead of, well, I'm in the market, I'm going to, you know, invest and just grow my money until I retire. That's not a goal. Retirement is a goal, but how much money? The amount of money is the goal. How much? So today we're going to spend a few minutes defining the word fiduciary. We've talked about that for numerous times. The word has been associated with financial matters for all kinds, but how does it impact your investments, or does it? When is a fiduciary a fiduciary? That's one of our talking points today. We have been inundated with calls for the show in our office about some of the recent high flyers. The waters of the stock market are teeming with sharks that are ready to eat your money quickly when you make emotional decisions without preparation. Do not make an emotional decision. Discipline and forethought. That's what you need to worry about. Discipline, forethought. About everything in life, really. Discipline and forethought. Fear and greed rule all markets. Fear and greed. There's only two emotions that rule the markets, and that's fear and greed. And the nature in which they play out should be the primary study of any investor. How does fear and greed play out in the marketplace? Now, without preparing perspectives and understanding, how do you know what's going to happen? You can't see the future. No one can. I'm not saying that. I just want you to be aware of your decision-making process and the emotions that drive you, the emotions that drive the market. You know, they're there too to see. And I want you to control those emotions in yourself so that you are not dictated to by the ways of other people of what they're doing. You're dictated to by common sense approach to just understanding how it works and not think short term, because short term, the market acts like a crazy person. Long term, it's very rational. It all boils down to earnings. And I'll give you an example. One of the biggest gainers, and the one's been called on ad nauseum, is Tesla. Tesla has done some amazing things. They got great cars. They won many awards. I'm not even suggesting that they're not a great company. They are a great company. But at the money they're making, which next year it means they're going to lose 74 cents a share, is that worth $362 a share for stock price? You're going to lose money. They lost money this year. They lost money last year. They made 14 cents a share in 2014. They made 78 cents in 2013. They lost $3.20 in 2012. They're going to lose $5.72 this year. And then another loss of 74 cents next year. And yet the stock sells for $362 a share. What rational world do we all live in that makes any sense? To me, that's a big red flag of overvaluation. That's a big red flag. It's going to collapse. I just don't know when. It could keep going up another 100 points. It could go up 200 points. I don't know. But it is going to collapse. I just can't tell you when and from what height. But it's going to, because eventually people are going to look around and say, you know what? Toyota makes a pretty good hybrid top-end car. You know what? General Motors makes a pretty good high-end, top-end electric car. Oh, everybody, there's a lot of the good electric cars. Why is Tesla so special? They have to keep being special, don't they? And at some point, competition's come in. Look at Apple. Apple's stock price is very, very low. They were a high flyer. So when you compare it with earnings, Apple's earnings, yeah, they're selling at what, 15 PE? I mean, something ridiculously low for the amount of money and the business and the cash flow they have and the cash in the bank. Pretty darn low. So Tesla has no PE because it has no E and it's selling for $360 a share. Anyway, I won't beat it into the ground. It's a big red flag to me. And I like Tesla. I wish I owned it. But I'm not this price. We're going to talk about that. Chasing stocks. It's going to be one of the talking points today. So let's get to the Q&A portion of the program. Let's try to answer your questions right now. Our listener line is 888-99-CHARP. That's our anytime line. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. So let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mike from Tracy. I got a quick question in regards to looking at a chart. When you're looking at a double and triple bottom as possibly a buy point, how far back do you go? Do you go back several weeks, several months when you're analyzing that stock? Great show. Really appreciate the information that you're bestowing on your listeners. Have a great day.
Okay, you look at what most experts look at first, and that's a one-year daily chart. So the days, prices of the stock, day by day, moving along for 1 year back. That's when you look for your doubles and triple bottoms and double and triple tops. Those are signals, technical signals that tend to tell you something. They tend to be true, but they're not always true. Just tend to be. But it's a one-year daily stock of the price. And for all those people that, well, I don't have access to charts. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Stockcharts.com has a free stock chart program. You can set it for 1 year. You can make all kinds of changes to it. And you can set it, and it can stay that way for your own personal settings if you want. It's very good free software for a chart. Okay? So don't tell me you can't do it. You can. You just got to learn how to read charts. And remember, fundamentals first for corporations. First and foremost, the fundamentals of a company that you're going to buy have to be in place. Then you go look at a chart. The chart helps tell you when to buy and when to sell. That's what it does. And notice I said helps to tell you that. Not always right. When is a fiduciary a fiduciary? That's going to be one of our talking points today. We've talked about fiduciaries. What is it? I want to talk about oil. You know, we talk about oil every so often. I talk about oil and the amount of oil we have. What OPEC is doing, what our shale production is happening, what's going on out there. Odds of avoiding a bear market with your investments. What do you think your odds are that you can avoid a bear market? Should you even try? And we're going to talk about Puerto Rico. Did you hear what they're trying to do to raise money? Because they can't borrow anymore because they defaulted on all their bonds. They're bankrupt. So did you hear what they plan on doing? I want to talk about the concepts of what they're going to do and how it just makes perfect sense to me, but how come we're going to get into it. If I start talking about it, I'll keep talking about it. Anyways, those are things I want to talk about. Today the market gave up money. I gave up some prices here. 99 down on the Dow. Dow was down 99. The NASDAQ was down 101. That's a pretty big move. Pretty big. And the S&P was down 20. So those are pretty good downward strokes for the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. The Dow, 100 points, is, 100 points is not much to me. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. Unless you want to talk about something else, I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Kiplinger columnist James Glassman puts it this way. Making money in the stock market is hard, not because finding great companies is difficult, but because the best and easiest to understand strategy for winning is so difficult to adhere to. That strategy can be described in three words, buy and hold. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHARTS, how you get through right now.
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Raul from Flower Mound, calling to ask your opinion on a stock, TK, symbol TK, TK Corporation. Was wondering what you thought about its run-up and whether it still had legs. The PE is zero at this time, but I'm assuming that's because of their trailing PE is zero, but I'm assuming that's because of their loss last year. Do you see some upside to this? It previously was as high as 11. Currently, it's at 6.53. If you could take a quick look and give me your opinion, I would appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll listen to you on your show. Thanks again.
TK, which is TK Corporation, provides international crude, oil, and gas marine transportation services with a current fleet of 314 vessels. So they move oil around, oil, natural gas around. That's what they do. It's a shipping company. They're going to make 8 cents next year after losing 83 cents this year, 55 cents last year. The year before, they made 94 cents, and that was their big year in the last 10 years. So this is the problem. What's 8 cents worth? Its stock is selling for $6.44. The 20 PE is $1.60. 420 is a 40 PE and $6. See, it has no justification for the price. It's still overpriced. It has bounced from a double, almost triple bottom, and it's bounced nicely in the last 3 or 4 days. And I could see it easily going back up to the $10 range before falling down, but it does not have any fundamental reasons to make it go much higher because we have an oil glut around the world. So it's not going to be, high demand. They can charge a lot of money to transplant the oil so they can make a lot of money. They can't because the profit margins are so tight that they're just not, it's going to be difficult for them to make money, make more and more money. And they have high debt. So I don't see it as being any kind of long-term. Can it keep going up? I think it can go up to $10.50 to $11. That's where the high was back at the beginning of the year. I can see that. But I don't think it has the legs to go any higher than that. Let's talk to Helen in San Jose. How you doing, Helen?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to know whether is a good time to buy Google and Amazon right now, especially Google has dropped so much today.
I would say the quick answer is no. It hasn't dropped enough. Neither one. They're the high flyers, and everybody loves them. I love them as a company. I think those companies are really good companies. I know, Helen, those are companies you want to have, right? You want them in your portfolio. Mm-hmm. But I think they still have a ways to go down yet before they bottom. When the market makes its correction, which will happen probably between here and, I'm going to say, October, when that market corrects, whatever it is, these two will correct with it, and that's probably when the whole market goes down like today. The whole market went down, both these went down. Wait till you get a decent correction, and I would love to see a 10% correction. 10% would be about 100 points for Google, down, 100 points. Okay, so I would wait till that. I think you'll get a better opportunity. Okay.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Helen. And they are companies that you want to be owners of. They have long-term good prospects, very good prospects long-term. So you want to own them. You just want to buy them at a good price. And maybe we won't get the good price. That's possible. This is InvestDoc, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. I just think it's probable we'll get a better price. I really think it's a high probability. I'm glad you are investing this hour with me. I appreciate that. Let's hear your voice. Our anytime listener line number is 888-99-CHART. We've talked off and on about what a fiduciary is. Try to understand what a fiduciary really means. It's not... When you're talking about a fiduciary when it comes to money management, it's different than what a fiduciary really is. A fiduciary is a person or organization that owes another person or organization good faith and trust. That's what a fiduciary, that's the definition of fiduciary. You can be the fiduciary of your next door neighbor. Okay, but when we're talking about money management, it's a little different because there's different types of fiduciary. And when we're talking about, when you're talking about, you know, an investment fiduciary. When you're talking about an investment fiduciary, you're talking about a financial professional, money manager, banker, as an investment fiduciary, a person or organization that has legal and moral responsibility for managing somebody else's money. Okay? And there's different kinds of standards for those fiduciary, and that's one of the things that is trying to be changed to make those standards tougher. In other words, the standard right now is kind of not the strongest, because a financial fiduciary, a money manager, a broker-dealer can sell you what is suitable, an investment product which is suitable for you. Not the best, but suitable. And Justin has a good example. What is suitable for you is an example would be, well, this shirt is suitable. It's the right size and it fits. May be ugly. May not be something you like. May not be something even comfortable. But it's suitable because it's the right size and it fits. Whereas the new law is trying to change it to be what's best for you. What's best for you. And what that means to financial people is you can't sell them products where you make a lot of commission because you make a lot of commission, because that's not best for your client. What's best for your client is give them the best product at the lowest cost and lowest price. Okay? So that's going to hurt a lot of business models out there who live on commissions, we'll call them sales loads on mutual funds or there's, you know, commissions to buy and sell something. The model that we have, KPP has, is going to be the one that's probably going to be much more prevalent in the future. And see, I avoid this whole thing by making sure I buy the exact same thing for my clients as I do for myself at the same price, the same percentage in all the portfolios, so that I own the same thing as everybody else at the same price, same percentage in my portfolio. So our performances are all the same. So how can anybody say I'm not doing what's best for my clients when I'm investing my own money right alongside theirs? See, that model, I think, is going to be much more prevalent in the future. Instead of, well, here, why don't you buy this ABC company because it really looks good. And, well, do you own it? No. Why don't you own it? Well, because, you know, we don't buy those kind of companies. But it's good for you. I don't know about that. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve. This is Lorraine from Lowell. I'm real interested in Illinois Tool Works. If you would give me a snapshot of the company and what a good buy point for it would be. I've been watching the trade journals, and I think Illinois Tool Works has a real good growth horizon out there in earnings. Thanks. Bye.
One of old time companies, Illinois Tool Works Inc., very big blue chip company, a $50 billion company, big, manufactures plastic, metal fasteners, fastening tools for construction, automotive, appliance markets. It makes $7.04, extremely steady, extremely reliable on its sales and earnings, doesn't pay a big dividend, 1.8%. It's a little pricey right now, so it's coming down in price from, it was up close to 150, today it's 142 in the last 4 or 5 days. It's been coming down, and it should, because it's a great company, great return on equity, 43%, not too bad in debt. All those numbers, everything looks right, okay? But the price, everything looks right, so everybody's driven up the price of this thing in the last year or so, probably higher than it deserves. So my suggestion is, just like Amazon and Google we talked about earlier, wait for the correction. This will correct, and then you pick it up. Where would be a great price? Man, I'd love to pick it up about $130 a share. It's $142. I think that would be a good price. If you can get it down to $115, man, I'd be a buyer of that all day long. They grow their earnings 4 or 5%. a quarter, very consistent, very solid, a good company to keep in your portfolio for years and years once you buy it. Is your personal tolerance for risk reflected in your retirement portfolio? Do you know? There's an easy way to find out. It starts with a free risk analysis using an award-winning tool that anyone can use right now for free. It's there for you on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab. Hang on, Thomas. We'll get to you next.
Our Invest Talk podcast continues. First, a couple of words from KPP Financial, and a question for you. When did you last review your entire investment portfolio, not just look briefly over the documents? Steve believes this is something that should be done quarterly, every year at the very least. Why is this so important? You need to make sure that you're achieving the goals you want before you run out of time. And if you're just checking your statements each month and putting them back in the drawer, Steve believes you need to take a closer look. You may be missing opportunities or taking too much risk. Invest an hour with Steve. Start the process going. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. It can be done easily from anywhere in the USA on Skype or telephone. And now let's continue with the podcast. And now more Invest Talk. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your money question right now on any money topic. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Thomas, thank you for waiting. I appreciate it. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm fine. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. I appreciate it. A little sunburnt, but that's
excellent.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been warm. It's been nice. Very warm. But I am needing some of your input. I appreciate your input. You always have great information. I have been holding on to the stock IGT, International Game Technology, for over 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very long time. It was sold in 2015. I can't remember the company name it was sold to, but it was sold, and I was left with just a few shares versus the large number of shares I had prior to the sale.
Okay.
And I got a cash, exchange for stock. So I'm looking at the stock, and I am trying to determine whether I want to buy more shares of IGT and continue holding it, or if it's time to let this stock go.
Well, let's take a quick look at it. IGT, everybody, manufactures computerized casino gaming machines and systems such as spinning reels, slots, and video gaming machines. So the industry is anti-cyclical, Thomas, because people will go to Vegas and do gambling all year round. And it's amazing that in recessions that they don't really suffer nearly as much as other stocks because people still will use those machines. Yes, there'll be less investment spending by the casinos, but not very much less because they know they got to keep on top of that. The company makes money, but it's going to make less money this year than it did last year. Last year it made $2.33. This year it's $1.55. But next year it's going to bounce back up to $1.78. It pays a 4.3% dividend. It is a $4.6 billion company, so it's mid-size. And it's pretty cheap. I would tend to want to buy more at this price, the price of $18.76. It made this low back in last July, if you remember, it was right around this price. And it went all the way up to $29. And then from November till now, it's fallen slowly. But about the beginning, end of May, beginning of June, it made at the end of May, it made one big down, probably was disappointing earnings. And since then, it's been creeping up slowly. I think this is where you buy it.
That's what I was hoping to hear, actually.
Oh.
I like it, but I'm also worried about the industry. So
yeah.
It's a non-cyclical.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's a non-cyclical, and they have a lot of competition, but IGT is one of the top names in this sector. So I kind of like it, and you get that 4.3% dividend. I don't think that's in danger, so I'm kind of liking it at this price.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Thomas.
Always
appreciate the call. Well, there's somebody I made happy. I don't make everybody happy because, you know, I tell them don't buy it. Most of the time it's don't buy it yet. Wait for the correction. But this one looks like his bottom. And, yeah, it could go down in the correction. And if it did, I'd buy it more because of the fundamentals. The fundamentals rule everything, everybody, not the technicals, not the chart, the fundamentals. Fundamentally, this stock looks pretty good to me. Okay? So fundamentally is what you want to buy. You don't want to buy technicals. Technicals will only tell you where and when. You know, where, what price, it tends to fall here and starts to move up, or it's overpriced and it's tangible. But fundamentals tell you, well, is this a company you should consider? And I say, yes, you should. Oil. Okay, oil has been, you know, it's going to, I've said it before, I think I'm pretty positive that oil has peaked. We're not going to see high-priced oil for a long time because we have tons of it. Shale oil production keeps going up, and it looks like, though, it's peaking and it's going to start turning down. Oil prices, you know, it's a commodity. And it will go up, and it will go down, and it will go up, and it will go down, and it's going to continue to do that forever because all you have to do is look at what's called capital spending. Capital spending is what companies spend to improve their system, to look for more products. In the case of a commodity company and oil companies, it's looking for more oil fields, always trying to find more oil. And capital spending is going to be down 22% from 2015 to 2020. That means $1 trillion less capital spending. They have found the fewest new oil fields since 1947. Now you might say, well, that's because there's none left. Well, that's not true. So, and what happens is all those peripheral oil fields that are very difficult oil to get at, which would be shale in the old days, not anymore necessarily, but remember, they've already found all those where that is. So it's a matter of extracting it from the ground. And they've been able to make it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So what you're seeing is a typical cycle in oil where we have a glut. Now, since there is reducing capital spending by huge amounts going forward, there'll be less and less oil found. And as more and more demand happens, and I understand you're going to tell me, well, you got, you know, all, you know, electric cars and wind-driven electricity being produced, all those wonderful things. I agree that those things will get bigger and bigger and bigger. But most of the world will still be using oil. And yes, they'll be using the clean energy. Yeah, they will. But think about it this way. What, the average American family has 2.5 cars or something? And in India, the average family has, you know, a 0.25% of one car, quarter of a car. What if they get one car per family there? That is not going to be all electricity. So there will be demand. There will be demand for oil. We're just at a glut right now, so you're going to have to be very careful about your investments. But don't think demand for oil is going away. It's not. It's being reduced, especially, you know, in the United States, gasoline consumption has been going down for a number of years now. And that's a good thing. But, you know, when you think about the rest of the world, there's still going to be demand for oil. So what does an InvestTalk insider know that you don't? Maybe something she or he saw on one of the dozen or more webinars or the easy-to-read info sheets written by me and Justin. Why not give yourself the insider advantage? Sign up yourself on InvestTalk.com. It's free. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff from Texas. I had a question about CBI, Chicago Bridge and Iron. It's dropped quite a bit. Had a 15% drop the other day after a McQuarrie report and a couple of other things. I just wanted to see what y'all thought about it at this price. Just looking to take maybe a small position here. Thanks.
Well, apparently he didn't see it was a call before today because today it was up 39%. Okay. We own CBI and some of our managed accounts. It's called Chicago Bridge and Iron. CB as a boy, I is the symbol. Oh, come on, Steve. CBI. Okay, Chicago Bridge and Iron. I'm not sure exactly why it jumps. It was a Supreme, a Delaware Supreme Court ruling. That's why it jumped. It was a dispute between CBI and Westinghouse, and it was found in favor of CBI, Chicago Bridge and Iron. So it jumped up huge to $20.02 from, what, $14.50 or so? And so it's too late now. I wouldn't chase it here. Wouldn't chase it. I mean, we've considered selling it today because of this huge jump. So I wouldn't. You remember, it provides construction and related services to hydrocarbon, oil and gas, chemical, power, water, and metal industries. Okay, so because of that, you know, if we have any infrastructure spending, this stock would do very, very well. And it's not even at $20, they're going to make $4.35. So that's a what, a 5 PE? A little less than 5 PE. So it's not even, after today's huge run up, it's not even overpriced. It's still underpriced, even at today's price, after running up 39%. And this is one of the reasons why we own it. We bought it because it's deep value play. They don't have much debt. I wish they paid more dividend. That would make me happier. But when you talk about a company that has a 4 PE and a 5-year average is 4 to 19, and they make money every year, they're going to make $4.35 next year. They made $3.50 this year. They're going to make $3.50. Last year they made $4.23. So that's one of the reasons why the stock was falling. But too cheap for me to pass up. Now, should you buy it now? I'd wait. You'd probably get a retracement a little bit here on this huge run-up. Let's go to Lucy in San Jose. How you doing, Lucy?
Hi, I'm doing good, Steve.
Thank
you. I have a question regarding Rite Aid. I have a small position in my Roth IRA account of Rite Aid. Mm-hmm. And given the recent news on pending potential approval of the merger, like how would you advise? Should I hold it or like?
Well,
what would happen to the if it's merged?
Okay, Rite Aid. Everybody operates 400 to 500 retail drugstores in 31 states, prescription drugs, convenience kind of things, and. I think it was Walgreens. Isn't Walgreens and Rite Aid combining, or one's buying? I think Walgreens is buying Rite Aid. I think what you're going to see, I don't know if you're going to get much of a price appreciation because that's already in the news. We already know that, right? We already know that. So after it moved up big yesterday, this might be about the best price you're going to get it. Now, personally, I think eventually Amazon might buy Walgreens because I think they're going to get into this business. Remember how they got big time in the grocery business by buying Whole Foods? Well, I'm speculating that the next target is going to be drug companies, that Amazon wants going to be in the drug companies. Think about the deliveries of drugs and stuff. I think that's a possibility. But anyway, I'd probably take my profits and go because the company doesn't make a lot of money. It's only going to make 8 cents this year. And it's a $3.74 stock. So there's not a lot of upside potential. I think you just got the upside potential yesterday when it popped up from, you know, what, $3.15 to $4. I think that's it. So now it's $3.74 today. Gave back some of that. That's what I do, Lucy. I'd probably take it and run.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. That was Rite Aid, everybody. R-A-D. R-A-D. odds of avoiding a bear market with your investments. What are your odds to say, hey, I'm going to get out before the next bear market? How good are your odds? At best, it's poor. Okay, at best. And I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about professionals like myself. Very, very difficult to avoid a bear market because that means you have to get out or you go the opposite direction. You hedge big time and avoid the whole bear market. No one knows when it's going to come, and no one knows how deep it's going to be, and no one knows how long it's going to last. There will be one, but you can't tell. And the odds are the market goes up long-term 8 to 10% a year. Long-term. Yes, there are going to be years where it goes down. It gets crushed 50% down. 2008, 45% fall. Okay? But can you get out before that? No. You can't. Most money managers who get it right and avoid the first one, because they're timers, almost always never avoid the second one because their timing's off. No, it's very, very difficult. Now, what can you do? There are things you can do. You can hedge, knowing full well that you're not going to be in the market completely with your portfolio, but you're hedging because of the valuations are too high, or you feel a recession's coming. But bear in mind, you could be totally wrong, so you never want to get completely out. You never, not even 50%. Because you're going to be wrong probably more often than you're right. Now, as you get older, you want to take less risk, and therefore you can avoid some of the damage because you're taking much less risk. Now, that, though, is an investment decision, a strategy decision, not a market timing decision. Okay, so don't think you can just avoid the bear market. Oh, I'll just get out when they come. No, because what happens typically is you get out at or near the bottom, and then you get back in after they've recovered. And you're getting out too late, and you're getting in too late. Okay? Here's an investment term for you should know. What is value at risk, or VAR, value at risk? Value at risk is a statistic technique used to measure and quantify the level of financial risk within a firm or investment portfolio over a specific time. This metric is most commonly used by investment and commercial banks to determine the extent and occurrence ratio of potential losses in their institutional portfolios. VAR. VAR calculations can be applied to specific positions or portfolios. You can do it either way. We're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. I appreciate you being with me. We'd love to hear from you. Before the end of the hour is up, 888-99-CHART. Okay, I got an email from James. James wants to know about a particular stock. Hello, Mr. Peasley. I would like to inquire about a regional management corporation, which symbol is RM, everybody. RM is in Mary, not N. It is a small company. I like that it makes money year by year. I would love to hear your input on today's Invest Talk show. Okay, RM, Regional Management Services, develops specialty consumer loan products, so it's kind of a bank, to consumers with limited access to consumer credit for traditional lenders. So it's a kind of a high-risk loan company. It's a $272 million company. That's not only small, that's micro cap, tiny, tiny, tiny. So small that it means it's pretty high risk just because it's so small. The company itself makes good money. Sales have been increasing 16% in the most recent quarter, 13% before that, 13% before that, 8% before that, 5% before that. So it's been pretty consistently growing its sales. Earnings are $2.78 a share, and it's at $23.46. So it might be a microcap, but they make really good money. Their sales are increasing, and it's not an expensive stock. It's not super cheap, but it's more on the cheap side than the expensive side. So should you buy it? If you already own it, I certainly would keep it. And it looks like the 200-day moving average is $22.32. It's $23.46. So about two, three weeks ago, it broke above the 200-day moving average and is still above it. So I would think that this would probably be a decent buy point for this company. This is a very cyclical company. So if we have a recession, this company will get hit. But I don't see one on the horizon. Now, you might have a correction, but I don't. This would be a good price to buy. It's not expensive, and this is the price you want to pay. Okay? And that symbol is RM. RM. Remember, it's high risk because it's a tiny, tiny company, $272 million microcap. That's where the risk comes from, these really tiny companies. People should, probably someone will ask me if they looked at, well, what about the debt? Well, remember what it does. It makes loans. So it borrows money to make loans. So the debt is not necessarily an issue. Let's try to answer one more question before our hour's up. 888-99-CHARTER is our 24-hour number. Larry called from Fremont.
Thank you for taking the call. I had a question about a Roth. Is it possible to go to a broker and open up a Roth retirement account and still have it self-directed? You know, I decide what stocks I want to get in and get out of on a regular basis.
Yes, you can. So what you don't want, you want to go to a discount broker, maybe an online broker like E-Trade or Scottrade or TD Ameritrade. You go to an online broker, set up a Roth IRA, put your money in it. Remember, you have limitations on what you can put in it. And buy and sell your own stocks. So, yeah, you can do that. Now, if you make too much money, I am not an expert, but there are restrictions on retirement accounts. If you make a lot of money, and if you already have a 401k and a regular IRA you're contributing to, there are restrictions that may apply, so you have to check with your accountant. Okay? Puerto Rico. I want to talk about Puerto Rico real fast. It's a territory of the United States, okay? And they are bankrupt. They have no money. They have no ability to borrow money. They've been spending like, you know, crazy, and now they are really in a lot of trouble. They defaulted on their loans, their bonds. So what did they decide to do? They're going to sell off to private companies different assets to run. It's not really a complete sell-off. It's more of a public-private partnership, like the port. We're talking about the ports, the airports, the ferries, maybe the utilities, student housing, water meters, traffic collection for fines. Now, I want you to know, their idea is to sell this off to private businesses to run. And obviously, that means they must run them much more efficiently, doesn't it? So why should the government? This is the problem. Big government doesn't solve the problems. They can be the problem. So be careful out there. Time's up for the hour. Before we go, a reminder, we have the date set for July checkups. I will be in San Jose on July 18th. July 18th in San Jose. Or we can meet up on via Skype or phone from anywhere. To reserve your hour for an individual portfolio, just check and review. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thanks for being with us today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.